I'm going to share a counter with you that a good friend of mine had. He sent it to me, called me. I wasn't available, and he left this on my recording. And as he began to speak, I just went in intercession immediately. There's some words that'll just, boy, if they're from heaven, they'll apprehend you. Amen. And he saw Ana and I walking on a beach in this encounter, and I had a keychain in my hand. That keychain is full of keys, and you'd think you'd be happy with that keychain. But I wasn't happy. I was walking around, I was kind of complaining a little bit. And I was telling Ana, I said, "The Lord, all he does is give me keys. He gives me one key after another, but I can't open the door." This is what I was saying. I've said that before, so I'll just be honest with you. That's the way I am sometime. Well, the Lord, I said, "Lord, okay, the keychain is getting very full." And I said, "Lord, I give these keys," and I said something. I was like, "Somebody will get a key and they'll run off with one key." And I was just not in a good place with the keychain. And it said a cloud had come over us as we were walking on. Anna was full of grace, by the way. It was just me. Amen. And this cloud had come over us on this beach we were walking on. And it was a glory cloud. It come over us, right over us. And a voice spoke out of the cloud and says, "Give me the keychain." He said, "Give me the keychain." So I took it and I threw it up into the cloud. And this is what he had, a vision of me doing all this. But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of prophetic symbolism. Very powerful. When I threw this keychain up into the cloud, one key dropped and released. One key, it was a golden key. And that golden key hit my foot, and it rested down by my foot, and it said master key on it. When he said that, I was just full-blown intercession. I mean, he left the recording, I'm listening to that, and I'm in just in intercession while I'm listening to that recording. Well, the first thing I do, I say, "Lord, what's the master key? I gotta know. Which one is it?" It's corporate eyewitness. And as I began to ask him what the master key was, and he spoke to me, because my first inclination, I said, "It's got to be the corporate eyewitness." Corporate eyewitness is a very powerful key. It's going to get restored fully in the last days. You should know what that is. We've been in it a long time. And he spoke to me right there in the middle of the interview. He said, "That is not the master key, but it is a master key," is what he said. A master key, but it's not the master key. Then I'm like, "Oh, what is the master key?" And when he spoke to me, first thing he said, he goes, he didn't say it. He said, "I've been revealing it to you ever since you closed the series of the corporate eyewitness out," which was at the latter part last year. He goes, "I've been revealing it. You already have it." He gave me this scripture. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my words." That's why I can't talk about anything else right now, because that is the culmination of really 28 years of walking with God, and all the things he's shown over that, and he's been very gracious in that area. All that's culminated into this key of keeping his word. What that means, I'm not talking about doing his word, I'm talking about keeping his word. There's a difference between doing the word, that's outward. Keeping the word is inward. It's an inward operation that is really a part of meditation that incorporates his word dwelling in your heart and in your mouth. And that operation, not just opening the Bible and reading and sitting and ponder a scripture, that's not keeping the word. That's just pondering. That's a part of meditation, to ponder. But meditation actually means to utter, to ponder, to decree. One of the definitions of meditation is to decree. We think we have a certain definitions of what we think meditation is. But when he told Joshua, he says, "Meditate my word and do not let it depart from your mouth." So it's an operation that we're not fully accustomed to, because we don't get taught a lot on this particular. We'll talk to memorize a scripture. We'll talk to meditate a chapter. Most of the time, my framework of understanding and meditation was to break a chapter down, to get the concise revelation of that chapter. That's what I considered meditation. And I'd meditate whole books just to break certain revelations down. That's meditation. Yes, that is part of meditation, but it was that revelation that was a far greater part of meditation, because when God reveals a revelation to you, when he plants his word on the inside of you, that word is bringing the kingdom with it. What we do is when we get and ask God for something, we are looking for a manifestation of the kingdom out here. But he says, when you stand praying, whatever you're praying for, you're praying for your life to be restored, your children to be restored, revival, whatever your is in your sphere or focus. He says, when you stand praying, believe that you receive and then you shall have. So what happens? We pray and we're looking for God to do something and we miss the part. Before he does it out there, he's going to send his word. And he's going to compact that promise like a seed. He puts the whole image of everything he's going to do and he locks it up into a seed and he sends that seed into your heart. He sends that word and he explodes the seed in there. That's why when you get a rhema, how many of you ever had a rhema word from God? When you get a rhema word, it explodes on the inside of you because it has the image of the destiny of that word and it explodes and you feel the faith of it. And it releases its image because it brought the kingdom with it. And a lot of times we'll get that, I've been telling you, we'll get that kind of experience. But then what happens is we lose that over time, or it grows dull or dormant, and we're looking for something else. What's next? And what God's wanting to do is go back to what he has said. That's why he kept taking Abraham back. He took him back. Go back, Abraham, to what I have said. Now listen to this scripture here today. Very powerful. Go to Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Notice this. He says, thy words were found. The Bible says, my words are spirit and life to those that find them. You can open your Bible and read it at night and not find his word. You got to find your word. Everybody has a word for their life. You got to find your word. How do I find my word? You get close to God. You get hungry for God. You seek him. You get hungry enough for God, he's going to start talking to you. Everybody has a word. It said, thy words are found and I did eat them. See that? Eat them. Your spirit is partaker of the heavenly calling. I am a partaker of the heavenly calling. I'm a partaker of the inheritance. You eat the things of God. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. When you find the word for your life, many times God will give you multiple revelations. Multiple revelations, because they're all a part of a master revelation. Sometimes God will give it to you like a jigsaw puzzle. He'll give you one over here, one over there, one over here. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. And you find your life going back and forth. And you go, which one am I? Because when God plants the heavens, when he plants it in your life, because I put my words in your mouth. Isaiah 51, that I might plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. He's putting those in you. There are graces being established in you. The words we speak to you, we can. There are graces that are being planted in the garden of your heart to bring forth fruit in another day. And when he plants that word, he's planting an image. He's planting the kingdom. You can't have the entire kingdom downloaded at one time. He downloads it. But it's there. What we're going to do is learn how to get in touch with it. Get in tune with what God has said. How can we have the Holy Ghost all our life? You know, somebody get baptized in the Holy Ghost, he lives up in there, but they're never in touch with him. And other people are in touch with him every day because they're in tune. We got to get in tune with what God has said. I've been waiting to share this scripture. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Now, this particular verse was given to me in a series I called The Sanctified Imagination. I'm going to share an encounter. I know this is a Sunday morning. It's a very heavy encounter I had. It's one of the heaviest encounters I ever had. Some of you may have never heard me share this before. But I didn't fully understand. A lot of times when you have an encounter, even though God is dealing with you at a future place in time of your life, you're still interpreting the encounter with your present understanding. You interpreted what you have, but God's dealing with you far greater than you can presently see. But he has to run that through your present understanding. I'll share with you what I mean here. I was actually in Florida preaching at Bronx Church 6-7 years ago. And I remember I was in this hotel room and I was in prayer and a very heavy glory came over me and I got caught up with the Lord. It wasn't an eyewitness, but it was a almost like open top vision. It was that powerful. I got caught up in this glory and it felt like I was being lifted up. I was in a vision state. I didn't get lifted out of my body like Paul got caught up in the third heaven, but I was caught up in the third heaven in the vision, but it was so powerful. And I remember as I was getting caught up, I was moving upwards and I knew the Lord was right there next to me. And I was moving up through these spheres and there was a line of buildings. It looked like New York skyline times four. If you could just take a panoramic view of the New York skyline of all the buildings, just 1, 2, 3, 4, just went on. It was all golden buildings and streets. And I was looking at it kind of from an upward position, but it was just incredibly beautiful. People were there. Lots of activity. A lot of light and blessing on the place. It was wonderful. And he took his hand, I remember, how you describe that? He went like this. He goes, this is the room. He called it a room. He said, this is the room of my blessing. This is where my people, most of the people that are blessed dwell in this room, is what he said. I'm like, that is a big room. I want to get up in that room. I'm like, why are we up here? I want to be down there. It was beautiful, full of light. It was like transparent gold, but glowing. And I remember we didn't stay there long because we were moving upward. The whole time this was happening, I don't know how to describe things in the spirit like that, but the whole time this happened, we were still moving upwards while he was talking the whole thing. And we went through like a barrier. It was like a cloud of thick darkness or something. We went through that cloud. And we ended up on a mountain. The way I could describe it, there was just clouds all the way so you couldn't see below. We were just at the top of a mountain. And in the top of that mountain, there was this door. There were ancient-looking doors that went into that mountain. There was two big, ancient wooden doors. Above that door mantle was written, Room of Inheritance. Now, mind you, this was before all of the teachings on the right hand of God. Really, I didn't have any conceptual understanding of the right hand of God at that time. And those doors opened. And I walked in that room, and it was dark in there. It wasn't like the city I looked at, but there was a lot of stuff in there. I saw wealth stacked up, high as you could see. All kinds of wealth. It went on and on. It kind of reminded me of that movie, Nicolas Cage. What was that movie? The National Treasure was like that, and he lit that room at the end, but it was all dark in there. But he knew something was there, kind of like that, and he lit the light, and it just went whoosh. And it just went on and on and on and on. That's what it looked like. And I said something. I didn't say it with my mouth. I said it in my heart. In the spirit, you don't have to actually say words to communicate, do you, Richard? You just communicate. God will read every thought you have. So watch what you think in the presence of God. Because he was right there with me. I mean, I was on a little tour. I don't have very many encounters like this, but this one was powerful. And there I said, why is this so dark? In my heart, why is this room so dark? And I said that, and immediately he responds to me. I didn't say it in my mouth. I said it in my heart. I thought it. This room is dark because there's so little light given to what dwells in this place. And he goes, the second reason it's so dark, because most of what you see in this room is presently under enemy control. Controlled by the powers of darkness. And we came back out of that room and stood, and I'll never forget this, on top of that mountain. He had this key. It was like liquid, but it could form. It wouldn't. And so he took that key and he said, I'm calling you to be a gatekeeper to what you see today. And he shoved that key into my spirit. Well, in my mind at the time, because he had not revealed anything of the right hand of God, we hadn't even entered into that place yet. I didn't understand what that key was. But I did know that it had something to do, because all these revelations started coming right after that key. But what I'd call the sanctified imagination, revelations of how did Abraham birth in 1 year after he carried the promise for 24 years. I mean, God comes to Abraham and Isaac when he's 99 and tells him, you're going to birth. And he laughs. And God, he goes, get a man, give him a baby, they're 99 years old. And she laughs. The Bible says they're full of faith in Romans 4, but that didn't look like they're full of faith to me. The kids told believe in hope. Fully persuaded of what God had promised he was able to perform. I'm like, that did not look like faith to me. They were laughing at God. So much that God said, I'll name your child Laughter. I'm like, how did he get from 99 to 100? How did he achieve that Romans 4 description of his faith? Because that's not what happened. At 99, he was really full of unbelief. He didn't believe God at all. He laughed at God. He fell on the ground. And I remember some of these teachings the Lord gave, and you remember we taught those of you who've been around here, how God re-instructed him to look at the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore, how he would be able, what he could not do in 24 years, he was able to do in 1 year. God apprehended the part of him that could see into the future. His sanctified imagination, but he seeded it with his promise and he released him into the future. See, there is a part of you that can live at the finish line. God does not ask you to find circumstantial evidence of what he's promised in your present circumstance. You can't. Does any of you right now could look at their present circumstance and says, this looks exactly what God has spoken to me. So you're not going to find evidence in your present circumstance. You're going to have to release into what God has said. In what God speaks, he's always declaring the end from the beginning. So you got to go to the end to get what you are now. But you can't go there, but there is a part of you that can. That's why he gives you the power to imagine. That's why the enemy is after the imagination of children. He wants to corrupt imagination. He wants to corrupt the innocence. God wants to seed the imagination with his promise so it can release into what he said. So my present understanding, I'm thinking that's it. And I preach this message. We're going to birth, we're going to birth, we're going to birth. We did not birth. It actually was the beginning of sorrows. And so, as he began to say that, he was trying to teach me how to operate in true God kind of faith. Except I didn't really know what that mountain I was looking at. Now I understand what that mountain is. That mountain is the inheritance of Christ in the right hand of God. See, the blessing of God is His grace that comes down to you. The inheritance of God is what He's laid up for you and asked you to come and get it. There are different operations of God. The inheritance is a free gift that can only be accessed by faith and understood where it dwells. It's in that mountain. It's in Mount Zion where Christ dwells, the right hand of the Father. The problem is you can't access a heavenly inheritance with natural application. I cannot access by soulish application. I can talk to you and communicate with you. I can touch, feel, and taste. But I can't communicate with that realm like that. Can't get there with the natural senses. That's why he had to teach us at the right hand of God. Teach us access, entrance, identification. What was there? How does it get transferred? All of that. All of that was part of that. I gave you the details of that vision for a reason. What I deemed that key to be was the sanctified imagination was only one part of what I now know what that key is. That key was a master key that unlocks the entire kingdom of God. And it's the key of keeping His word and what that means to keep His word. That's what Abraham had to do. He had to keep that word in the midst of his heart without allowing his own self to rise against that word and try to produce it outside of God. Sometimes we are God's worst enemies because God gives the word. It's sown in our heart. The first thing the enemy does, if he can't snatch it, steal it, corrupt it, is he'll try to get you and your old man to rise against what God has said and try to do it yourself. That's why the church looks like it does today. We've done figured out how to get people in our congregations. There is models and seminars to learn the models of how to fill a church up. The problem is we're filling the church up with immature people that don't grow up. They stay in the 30-fold operations. They don't come into fullness. Fullness takes time. It takes acclimation. Sometimes it's difficult. Some people prefer, hey, I like to have my life, have the sin in my life, because I can go to this place, I don't feel it. Just make me feel good. But you know God has that, because God loves everybody. Amen? But He is calling a people to access. God promised that the Lord would have a generation. It said, the Bible said, He would be counted as a generation that would serve Him and receive His fullness. And He's calling this last day church to access what He received from the Father. What's in that mountain? Our inheritance. When do you believe second coming of Christ? I believe that what He received for His people is going to get downloaded into the earth before He comes back. And I'm not talking just about, well, I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about power. All power has been given unto me. He already had power. Why did the Father have to give it to Him again? Because He had to receive it on your behalf. He had to become a man and then be resurrected. And then He received power all over again, but He received it as the firstborn so He could freely give it to you. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Daniel sees Him ascend before the Ancient of Days, and there's given Him a kingdom, and tongues, and tribes, and people. He received the nations. They're already His inheritance. The Father gave it to Him. I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. That was prophetic of Christ ascension into the right hand of God. He said, now ask of me the nations and the uttermost parts of the earth, because it's all yours. It pleased the Father in him all fullness would dwell. It's all there. It's not something he has to do. It's something he's already done. Somebody say amen. It's finished. He finished it right there. He finished it as his resurrection, ascension, and he received. He ascended on high and received gifts for men. Apostles, prophets, he received the government. Governmental gifts for all of mankind. He has your anointing. So we come to the culmination of all these teaching, this training. Let's go to Timothy here. Of what centering, focusing, acknowledging the communication of your faith becomes affected by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. What he's putting you, if you want God's word to come alive in you, what he has said, you have to start acknowledging what he said. The principles of acknowledging awakens the sleeping giant. It awakens what's become dull. Listen, what lives in you for you to birth, this is what God requires. For you to birth the future that's on that pole, being right here, you have to actually believe in the midst of this backward circumstance that that's more real than this one. How do I get evidence in faith to live in this realm? I know it lives in the future. It's easy to push it off into the future, one day faith, but I gotta have it now. I have to believe it above what I see. I have to believe I can birth out of death. That's what he required of Abraham. Can you believe that I can give birth out of a dead womb? Because it's important because your descendant, my true heir, is coming through your loins, and I'm going to ask him to do the exact same thing. To believe I can birth a brand new life out of the dead womb of humanity. And I got to have your faith, Abraham. Because he's coming from your loins. Can you believe? Sarah's womb's dead. Your birthing faculties are dead. But can you believe? Where am I going to get evidence when everything that surrounds me is dead? I got to get evidence somewhere. That's why I have to go back to what he said. To Abraham, he gave the imagery of the stars of heaven, the sand of the seashore. To me, to you, he's given us constitutions. Lots of them. In these, when I stand praying, I believe that I receive. I believe that what he said is right here. I believe that I receive. My future is in this word. I keep it. I've heard the word. Understood the word of the kingdom. I've received it. I keep the word of the kingdom. And I won't let it depart. The end of their lives, Moses, David, Solomon, all the greatest teachers of the Bible understood the principle. Don't let it depart from the midst of your heart. Whatever you do, keep it there. Hold on to it. Bind it into the frontlets of your eyes. Bind it to your hands as a sign. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Oh, that's easy enough, isn't it? Until the second you try to do that, the enemy comes in like a flood. That's why he knows more about that operation than we do. That's why he comes what? Immediately. Say immediately. To steal the word. He'll leave you sitting in a whoo gospel church all your life. You can do all that. Just don't keep that word. Don't keep that word, because he knows what's in it. Because God upholds all things by the word of his power. Timothy, this was powerful. Till I come, 1 Timothy chapter 4, till I come, give attendance. Solomon says it in chapter 4, Proverbs, attend to my words. You are attending church today. You have to give an attendance to what God has said and where he put that word. I'm not talking about attending. I'm not talking about just attending this book. I'm talking about the word that the Holy Spirit took from this book and sowed it here and planted it here. So when I attend, I'm attending to what he said here, because what he put here is where my future is going to be. Now, I do attend to his word there because this is the source, but it's not until it gets here. I have to attend to his word here in the heart. I've got to get connected. I have to acknowledge every good thing that's in me. I have to let his word dwell in me. Richly your words are found. I do eat them there. They rejoice in rejoicing of what? My heart. You're going to find his word in your heart. The great, great key of keeping his word, which was the hardest thing, because when the first Lord started showing me spiritual constitution, I tried to hold, keep it, all the stuff. I was miserable at it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand how the enemy operated. I didn't understand why he was coming. I didn't understand all the assignments that were being thrown one after another. I didn't understand it because he didn't just walk up to me and said, oh, by the way, all that I'm doing is for one reason, just to take that word from your heart. But the thing about it, because I was going through, I kept laying it down. Laying it down. It got too heavy. Oh, I'd be in church. I could minister. I could do all that. I just couldn't carry it. I wasn't close to it. It wasn't right there. And the Lord spoke to me. Finally says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. He says, my words can't abide in you unless you're close to me. I'll say it like this. You're not going to be connected to what God has said. Remember what we were talking about, Abraham? Where is he going to find evidence? Because he can't find it here where he's presently at, because the evidence is up there. But I have to find it here. So I have to escape where I'm at. And I'm not talking about going to escape to a movie theater. But I got to get out of this circumstance to find evidence to what God has said. Give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that's in you. Do you know God's word planted inside you is a gift? Do you know God's promise planted inside you is a gift? Not only you, but all the humanity will be touched by that word, changed by that word, which was given to thee by prophecy, by the laying of hands of presbytery. Now notice this, verse 15, here we go, meditate. Meditate upon these things. See that? Give thyself wholly. See the word holy? It's not H-O-L-Y, it's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Give yourself wholly to these things. Meditate upon these things. Neglect not what's inside you. Don't let it depart. Add Solomon's wisdom. Keep it in the midst of your heart, but give yourself wholly to it. When I was preaching this, Gary Carpenter called me because he was listening to my messages. And he called me and said, oh, man, that's good. He goes, look what the Lord showed me here. And he opened this up. The word in the Greek, when it says give thyself wholly, do you know what it means? Be in these things. You can look that up in the Strong's. When it says give thyself wholly, means be in these things. Meditate upon these things. Don't let my word depart from your heart. Don't let my word depart from your eyes, but be in these things that are in you. You got a lot in you. The reason why we're not in touch is because we don't know how to acknowledge. Through the principles of acknowledgement, we get in touch, acknowledging every good thing that's in us. I started acknowledging his word. That's why I'm so strong on constitution, because this here reminds me of what's here. And it's here is where I have to find it. It's here. I put my words in your mouth that I may plant the heavens. Getting in touch with what he said. B be in these things. We were at Universal Studios probably about 8 years ago. It was right at the time I was getting all these revelations. And we went to the Terminator show. Back then, I don't know if they still have it, but they have Terminator. They had the 3D experience, 4D experience. And you'd sit in a seat, have your 3D glasses, but they had this ability to transport you into the reality of that. You weren't just watching it, you were in it. When that sword and his finger went like that, and the sword came out of his finger, and it came right at you, you go boom like this. But they were doing smoke and water. So when water was being splashed on the screen, it was being splashed on you. And it tricked your senses to actually believe, I'm in the middle of this battle. Your seat's moving, you're being jarred, and when that sword comes, I go, ah! I threw my glasses off. Everybody was freaking out. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me right there. He said, this is what you have to do to be in these things. See, they learned how to get you to escape a reality that you were in by creating another reality for your senses. But your senses believe the reality that they had set up. He said, this is what has to happen, my word. My word are spirit and life to those who find them. You've got to escape your present reality. And you have to escape into something that's not unreal, but it's actually more real than your present reality, because I'm having you to escape into truth, not fact. I'm having you escape into truth. I want to take your senses and your soul and your mind and your belief system, even your body and your agency that feels and senses, and I want you to escape and be in these things of what I had said about your future. I want you out of where you are into what I said, because what I said is truth, and truth is greater than fact. Fact is what you deal with every day. Truth is what God said. And I tried back then in those days, and I couldn't get it. I just wasn't ready yet. Now we're getting ready. Now I know there's a realm. You know why? I'm going to share this great key, and I'm going to close. I tried to do that without the revelation of the right hand of God. I tried to launch my senses into a place with God, because I knew that it was powerful. I knew what he was saying. I was trying to do all that here in this jurisdiction. I couldn't escape. What I didn't realize, I wasn't supposed to do that in this jurisdiction. That's what I was saying. He was working with me as much as he could at the time. I found that key was more, it wasn't just the sanctified imagination. That key was the whole key of keeping his word. I realized I can't keep his word operating out of this jurisdiction. Those of you who've been in this church know what I'm talking about. I realized that when you pray, enter into the sanctuary where the Father dwells. Shut the door. The Father that's there in that place in the secret, enter into the secret place. When he's there, so wherever that place was is where the Father was, I shut the door to that other realm. Then you pray. And that's when he said the Lord's Prayer. See, he prefaced the Lord's Prayer by position. He had to teach me position. I am the door. If anybody me, any man entereth in, he'll go in and out and find pasture. In and out of what? You're not going in and out of salvation. You were going into the secret place. He gave you access to the right hand of God. To his glory, to his secret place. And once he taught us how to move into that dimension, which we do on Tuesdays, I had to get over the fact that it's, don't be looking for the spectacular when you enter the presence of the Lord. If you do, it's like, oh, I'm waiting for an angel to show up. Got to see something. No, get in position. Understand what it means to be covered in the pavilion of God. The greatest thing you should look for, and you can write this one down, look for the breach or the breaking of the world system. What's binding your mind and anxieties and pulling on your flesh. When you enter in, all that will get broken. You'll move into peace. You won't have things tearing at you. You won't have anxiety, to-do lists running through your head. You go to pray and you got all these things you got to do right now. But you go to pray and you got to do it right now. But you don't understand, that's not natural force. That's a thief. It's stealing your access. And you don't know that. But he's stirring you up to keep you from being positioned. Once you understand it's a thief, you break the cycle. You're in a secret place. You're in another jurisdiction. It's not the one dominating by the senses of the world. The systems of the world are not dominating. You're in a quiet place. You've entered into the rest. You cease from all your labors. Now you're ready to keep his word. Connect with it. Hold it. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge every good thing. And I present, when I move in that position, I take that word, I hold it, I acknowledge what's in it, and then I present it to the Father. The very words that he spoke to me 8 and 10 years ago, some of these words 20 years ago, though, you know, the ones you stick on the shelf and say, one day he'll come and do this. You know what I'm talking about? Now those words are coming so alive. They're rejoicing. The words are found. I found your words again. He goes, they're always there. But being dormant, they're ineffective. But when they come alive again, what happened? Thy words are found, and what's happening now? I do eat them. The joy and rejoicing in my heart. Be in these things. Be in what I said. Live in the dimension. And I know my spirit, my soul, and my body can transport into this dimension to where I believe what I'm seeing and saying here more than what the enemy is actually portrayed there. I'm able to escape into the promise. Live in the promise. I see revival. I see apostolic government. I see a wealth transference. I see it. I'm living it in the Spirit of the Lord because I'm in a room with him. I don't feel the effects of the unbelief of the world. And I'm holding and keeping it. I'm acknowledging it, and I present it to the Father. The sheer fact you can present it to the Father is the acknowledgement it's in your heart. You acknowledging it with your mouth. You're presenting it with your mouth. And it's holding, and you can feel the anointing right now. And you get in this realm, and you feel the glory around it. I keep your words to him who have your words. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You can ask what you will. If you love me, keep my words. It will come make our abode in you. Father, and I will come and set up camp with you. I uphold all things by the word of my power. I set my words in your mouth that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom's in these words. Thy will be done on the earth. Father, thank you for your words today. Thank you for the training. Thank you for being able, for giving the ability to describe spiritual applications. People can understand. Thank you for where you've brought us in this journey. The final master key that requires all the keychain before it. Every key that was given is all culminated into this one key to see thy kingdom come in the earth. To behold it, to be at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. To see the creative waters. To see the waters of commerce, to see the fullness of apostolic government. Now a new generation of Joshuas that dwell in the tabernacle of the Most High God, that you remove the reproach of our past and the reproach of the wilderness we walk through, and you bring us before the captain of the host, so our eyes behold our captain. For the establishment of the eyewitness and for the walls of Jericho, the barriers that have barred your church, they'll come down in front of a whole city to know that you're the living God, to know by demonstration that you're the living God. For no man can do these things without the Holy Ghost, the threefold apostolic testimony of the Holy Spirit, the word of the right hand of God, and the eyewitness testimony of the apostolic government. being released. Father, let your Spirit continue upon us. Keep us under the shadow of your wings. For we are entering into the days of glory. We are entering and keep the intercessors, keep everyone in this house. Keep us from offense. Keep us from the trials. Keep us from the destruction of the enemy. Let no plague come nigh our dwelling. Keep your exceeding shield around us, preparing for a very great birth. We keep your words to him who hath your words. To them who have your words, to them will be given. We will be given the promise. We will not let these words depart until our eyes feast upon it. In your mighty name, Jesus, in your mighty name, you've given us a great key. We treasure it. All the keys you gave us were to teach us to operate this one key effectively. Let your glory fill this house. Let your glory fill this house.